Out of Arizona, J.C. Laney, and part of your description in the bio, Grammy Award-winning composer Wouter Kellerman calls them, quote, delectable fare. Here's the whole package. Exceptional vocals, awesome harmony, and very pretty guitar parts plucked with precision. Sounds right?
Yes, that's pretty high praise from Wouter.
How'd you come across him?
We had a little escapade into the 58th Grammys a few years ago. We had a album and a song in three categories.
Couple songs.
In the first round of the Grammys, and we were in with the other independent artists. Kind of got to know a lot of people, and we were invited to a party that was put on by Wouter, and got to know him a little bit. Just happened to like our music.
That's Laney, who back in 2016, you're talking about being in the first round ballot selection for the 58th annual Grammys. How did that process come about where you got yourself in the mix there? That's pretty cool.
Well, after you're an established artist and you have a couple of recordings under your belt and at least 5 years full time in the business, a lot of times if you make enough of a splash, you'll get invited to join the Recording Academy, which we did. And then submitted the album and it was accepted and placed in the Americana category. And that the rest is a history now. 2016.
Right? Rest is a mystery.
A mystery.
I heard you live in Santa Rosa, and JC said the story about how you two met, which sounds like storybookish or a bunch of crap, but it's real, right? So tell us the story.
Which story did you tell?
Which story was that?
The one how you met and how it, you know, it was kind of destined to happen with music and you singing in the same place.
If it was the story in Prescott about sitting in a bar and having a song by Eric Clapton
Bell
come
Bottom
on.
Blues.
And that is actually a true story.
Indeed.
The other story that he tells about meeting in a brothel, a lie.
Actually, I thought I was in a brothel. Oh.
I didn't hear that one.
Yeah, good.
But the one in the bar, like, you were singing a song and he was singing it. I mean, you said, the way you described it was beautiful about how you connected and how'd that go?
I heard her singing harmony. She heard me singing whatever. However, we worked it out. When there's a part in that song where the harmony kicks in so hard, so powerfully, and I heard it connect with mine, and I just, like, looked at her and, oh, my God. And then when it came around again, when the chorus came around, everything happened. It wasn't a fluke. So, you know, the story is actually absolutely true. The bartender said, are you a band? And I don't know if she said yes or I said yes, but one of us said yes.
We did take the card.
Yeah. Are you a band? Yeah, we're a band. Here.
And so then you swap phone numbers and the rest is history?
Just about. Well, did swap phone numbers. And he called and said, he lived in La Habra, California. He said, will you come out and sing harmonies on my album? It's going to come out in a few months and I need some backup vocals. And that was November of 2009. And the album came out in March and suddenly had my name on it too. Instead of a J.C. Scott album, it was a J.C. and Laney album.
An original group name.
How was it determined that J.C. would be first?
Well, it was his project. All the songs were already written. I did come in after the fact.
All right.
He definitely writes all the music. So,
where does the inspiration for the songs come from? Life experience or just some ideas in your head? How's that come about as a songwriter?
You can't believe how many times I've been asked that question and how many songwriters are asked that question. I don't know what they say. I wish I had an answer. Sometimes I just pick up and I start playing some riff. And sometimes I mumble, actually, much of to inspiration. Laney's always been a muse for love songs. And other ones are busted up relationships. You know, sad things. I learned a long time ago, probably 10 years ago, I learned to take a sad song and put a happy ending on it. So listen to my songs. They'll start out, somebody's a victim, and then the end, love conquers all. Like Side by Side, for instance, I was living with Lainey, and but before I met Lainey, or around the time I was meeting Lainey, I was going through a major upheaval. I was going through a divorce, of course, and I wrote 23 bye-bye songs, is what we call them, 23 of them. And I think we have kept maybe five or six, right? We've kept five or six.
JC, since you mentioned Side by Side, I want to play that right now. So tell me the inspiration for this song, and we'll play it for the audience.
The inspiration for Side by Side is Lainey. It's really simple. If you listen to the chorus, I wrote the chorus first before I wrote the verses. And I brought the song into Lainey in the kitchen, and I said, would you just sing this chorus for me, please? And it really brought tears to my eyes. I mean, it hit me really hard. And I go, okay, I'll finish the song. And that was that. So, yeah.
Yeah, the music video is super cute with a bunch of still shots of your life and adorable on YouTube.
Well, thank you.
All right, let's give it a listen. Out of Arizona, JC and Lainey, here's Side by Side.
Stole my time.
I like it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You make that sound so effortless. When you go into a studio, how long does it take to put a song together?
Oh, you know, that varies from song to song a lot. That really varies. Sometimes when we go into the studio, we have so much stuff worked out that we have to have like a schedule, a guideline of what we're going to lay first. Generally, when we go into the studio, it's always guitar first, guitar tracks first, usually three times, and then we'll go in together in two different studios where we can see each other, and we do sing the tracks at the same time. Okay. Obviously, so we're isolated. But that's mostly how we work it out. Sometimes it's very fast. Sometimes not so much. I don't know if I can remember on Side by Side. Do you remember if that was a quick one or?
On Side by Side, I had finished up a session. You weren't with me on this one session we did out there in Laguna. We recorded in Laguna. I was with Steve. He's our producer. And it was late. It was like 11 at night. And I said, I have another song I wanted you to hear. And he goes, okay. He just threw a microphone at me. And I sang her in her key. I already knew what key it was going to be in that she was singing. I already knew she was going to sing it. But I wanted him to get a feel for it because I think I was leaving the next day. And I wanted to leave him with this song.
You mentioned Steve. That's Steve Wood, right?
Steve Wood. He's our producer. Yeah.
He's phenomenal. That's who you hear playing the keyboard parts.
He's responsible for a lot of who we are, what we are, how we are. He's responsible for that. You have to have a really good producer in the music business. You just have to. And most anybody you talk to will tell you that.
If I'm not mistaken, I think he's got a history working with Kenny Loggins.
Oh yeah, long time. He was his musical director, and he did play keyboard with him on tour for many years. They started off as the opening act, a band called Honk, that's straight out of Laguna Beach.
And they still, Honk still sells out the Coach House. I think they're there August 4th this year. Once a year, they play there.
A reunion concert.
A reunion concert. They sell out every year, and they have since 1965. Endless Summer. You remember the movie Endless Summer?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Since then. That's longevity. So Steve is a real genius. He's just a wonderful guy. We're very close still to this day. And anyway, so I played the guitar, and I sang Side by Side. And I left. And about 1 or 2 days later, he sent me the keyboard on top of the guitar and my voice. And it was like, oh my God, he really liked the song. And then of course, Lainey sang it. But that's how we were. I'll write a song and I'll be singing it, or I'll work it out with her either way. In that particular case, I had worked out already, knew what key she was going to sing it in. So you should, I don't think I have a copy of it, but it's me singing that song. And it sounds
it's probably blackmail material.
It's blackmail. Cause it's like side by side, you know,
oh my God.
The melody was right, but the voice was too high. But anyway, yeah. So that one came together pretty quickly.
You both sound great individually. But when you come together, something magical happens. And I think they are two voices that were meant to be together.
Thank you. It's all luck of the draw, mate. You can, Bobby Kimmel?
Yeah, Bobby Kimmel from the Stone Ponies. A couple of years ago when we first met him, well, probably 9 years ago, he offered to play bass with us. And
Stone Ponies was Linda Ronstadt's very first band. They did Different Drum, her first hit.
He said that you can throw a bunch of great musicians in a room, and in a few minutes they can come out and probably play something great on stage together. But singers, you throw a bunch of good singers in a room and they might never sound good together. There's a lot of frequency things that have to happen It's not just a matter of singing in tune. You have to have a lot more than that. You have to be in tune with each other, you know.
Stephen Hawkins, you know that guy. He's not with us anymore, but he's supposed to be like the most brilliant mind of, you know, next to Einstein, right? You know, the guy I'm talking to
Stephen
in the
Hawking.
Wheelchair.
Yeah, Hawking.
Steve Hawking, yeah. In his book, he said that the first rule of physics is it really isn't that it goes up, comes down, immovable object, unstoppable force, and that, all that stuff. He says it's not that. He says it has to do with frequencies. Now, I can't get into the depth of it because I'd have to read the book again, which took me 2 years to read it. Anyway.
We
don't have time for that. But it has to do with frequencies. Frequencies are what people, you know, like if you didn't like the sound of my voice, you know, you wouldn't like the sound of my voice. It grinds in your ear or something. You know, some people that happens to. And other frequencies are very smooth. Lennon and McCartney have that smoothness where they sound differently together. And you put in Crosby and Nash as well. They sound like three voices. And strangely enough, when I sat with Lainey, there's another voice there. There is another voice when we sing. It's kind of imaginary. So much so, I hate to go long-winded, but there's a song that we do.
No, you don't.
Gaia.
No, you don't. I hate to go long-winded. Don't give me that.
When we played I Wish You Well for Steve, he goes, you guys are doing the harmony. Where's the melody?
Oh. Yeah, we don't always do the standard thirds and fifths. I don't know. The inverted fourths or whatever that people who really know music just like to describe what we're doing, and we're going, oh, well, you're just singing.
Yeah. The music people all have a description for it. All we know is we just want it to sound good. And a lot of great singers. Well, we had Jackson Browne's backup singer. Her name is Antara. What's her name?
Antara.
Hunter, yeah. I think. Yeah. Antara. And she sang background for backup with Jackson Browne for, I don't know, 12 years or something. She goes, I want to sing with you guys. I go, okay. She goes, let's go back up into your room. It was at a hotel somewhere. We had a convention or whatever it was. She says, I want to sing with you guys. I go, okay. So we go up to the room to sing, and Lainey and I are singing. I think it was either a Linda Ronstadt song or Everly Brothers song, something that people generally harmonize to. And she starts singing with us. She goes, I can't sing with you guys because you keep switching around your harmonies. You switch them around, but it doesn't sound like that to other people. And it didn't even sound like that to her. She didn't know either. Anyway, so that's part of it. We don't know what we're doing. We are just doing what we're doing to make it sound good.
Out of Arizona, JC and Lainey with us. Hey, can we talk? How difficult is it to work together? You have this craft that you love, this passion you share, but you also live together, this constant 24/7 existence. Does that ever get to be a grind?
Well, I probably have a lot more to say about that.
Well, please do.
Someone, it's funny that you said this, because someone at a concert that we did in Tucson night before last said, your music is very healing. And I said, well, it's very healing to us too. And you've caught us at a time where I've had the unfortunate incident here where I have a broken foot. Normally, if I had to have a broken foot and I'd be in a walking boot, maybe over the course of this 6 week period that I have to be in it, I would have had maybe 12 shows. Just so happens that I've been in the boot 25 days and we've done 19 shows. With a broken foot. We have extra together time right now because I can't do a lot of things for myself.
Extra together time.
And he's so very patient.
Oh, yes. I'm from Long Island. I'm just loaded with patience.
So yeah, like probably every couple, we probably get on each other's nerves a lot during the day. We get off stage and that does always seem to be healed, which makes it all possible. And keeps no homicides or homicidal thoughts that occur. I don't think.
the happiest I am in this world. I don't have children. I have a puppy. Hey, Ziggy. Okay, ignore me. I'm used to it, really. It's not a problem. Ziggy is our puppy. Anyway, but I don't have kids. And basically, the happiest thing in this world to me that I can do, first is singing with Lainey, and second is singing with Lainey in front of a crowd, an audience. It's just that simple. I mean, it's just how I feel about it. There's something very that inside of me goes, all is well, you know, all is well. And it's like an all is well thing too. And you know, we're really, really privileged that people actually receive what we do. I mean, it's quite an honor for people to come up to you and go, wow, you know, you really moved me, you know? And so for the 45 minutes or for the hour and a half or however long it is we'll play, people actually are separated from the cruddy stuff in their life, whatever that's in the back of their head, you know, maybe a kid or a spouse or a job or the police, or, you know, maybe they're addicted to something. I don't know. Yeah. I can go on. So it's really quite an honor for us. We're just very lucky.
So yeah, we do. We make it work, but we are together a lot.
And we're half Italian each. So you add that into the mix and
a little extra spice.
Yeah. You call it a miracle.
Or volatility.
Call it a miracle. Call it a miracle.
Making it work. JC, tell me about Hard Road to Easy Street.
That song was rewritten over a 5-year period. It was originally written with a whole lot more verses. It was one of those songs that I kept rewriting, and Lainey kept going, you're done. And, you know, the first time I wrote it, you're done. It's a good song. And I go, no, there's something about it. Then a year later, I did it again. And you need to finish this song. You just we're done. Anyway, that went on for about 5 years. Now, that's, a lot of people are shocked by that.
Well, tell them what it's about.
Well, Hard Road to Easy Street is a story of it's really a story of Lainey and I. It's really easy if you just listen to the verses. We humanoids have all had relationships that have turned to you know, ash, and then you get up and you suddenly meet somebody. It's happened to many of my friends that after, you know, the third time, they finally met somebody who understood them, understood, you know, hey, maybe this is just the way you are. It doesn't mean you hate me. You know, I understand your moods. You know, I can live. You love me and I love you. And I understand that. So that's what it's about. It's pretty clear. Lainey comes in the last three lines because that's one of the things it lacked. It lacked a tag. It lacked a period. It lacked a moral of the story. So the last three lines, she sings with me. Everything else I sing.
All right, let's check it out then. Hard Road to Easy Street, JC and Lainey.
He can't remember half of where he's been. Finger picking in a thousand bars here to New Orleans. Says he loves his vodka. Says it helps him stay on his feet. It also helps him fade to black. On the hard road to Easy Street, three times cube is zero, split his soul in two. Now he writes his songs about the passions of a fool. call him a poet, some call him a liar, a cheat. Either way, he's upside down on the hard road to Easy Street, and there are. Get away from if you just let him go.
It made a difference.
It made the whole song. It's what took so much time. Plus, I had to change it from the I to a fictional person, Lucky. And it really, it's a play on Lainey, because I used to call her Lucky Lainey. I still do. So it starts out. Lucky can't remember. I originally sang it 5 years before that. I can't remember half of where I've been, finger picking in 1,000 bars. So there's a lot of stuff that goes into a song. Every word has to have meaning. Every single line has to, it's linear. Songs are linear, really. A lot of people probably don't think that, but you have to cross from science to art with a song. It has to turn into a piece of art. Otherwise, it's just a country song with five guys in a room who just throw out a train, a divorce, a dog, a red truck, some alcohol.
Totally.
So there you go.
Well, there is a difference in writing styles. Nashville writing style is that four or five or six people are writing a song together. They're not really personal. They're co-writes. They call them co-writes.
Co-write.
And JC likes to write alone. We've written a few songs together, and he's written some songs with other people. But for the most part, he, at his core, is a songwriter, and that's what he does every day, is write songs. So he doesn't like throwaway lines. That's true. You don't like throwaway lines.
No.
Unless it's a funny song, and then it's not really a funny. Then it's trying to be wittier.
I don't think you'll
subjective.
I don't think anybody could find a throwaway. There's no throwaway songs. There's no throwaway lines in Beatles songs. There's no throwaway lines in Rolling Stone songs. There's no throwaway lines in really good, well-written songs. Don't have throwaway lines. That's just the world I live in.
You two have a lot of songs. I listened to 3 full albums in prepping for our podcast. What's your album total up to now? 7, 8?
Eight. Well, some of them have repeats. We did some two. We've done 2 acoustic albums.
So some of them are. Some of them we've taken an electric song and just made it acoustic, just a guitar and vocal.
Because
we perform as guitar and vocal.
That's how most people hear us.
That's how most people hear us. So if people say, well, I really like your music, which one would you prefer? And I go, do you want to hear a full band of this song or do you want to hear just us? And they say, just us. Well, we have three of those seven. Three? Yeah, as we are. Well, two. Two of those seven are guitar and Laney. Laney and I and guitar. That's it. So the other five are, you know, full bands, or one of them is with Heather Hardy, who is a violinist. And we added her to, I think, 12 songs. But so
We have recorded over 80 of our own compositions. Oh, yeah.
And I've got another 30 ready to go. We just don't have enough time. You know, if God gives me enough time, I'll record those. And then I still have a bunch that I'm in the middle of writing, you know, so.
It never ends.
If you both weren't in music right now, what would you be doing professionally?
Wow.
Pregnant pause. Oh, my God. I don't know. Has anybody ever asked that? What would I be doing? I know what I'd be doing.
Pushing
up daisies.
I wouldn't be alive.
This keeps me alive.
I don't know if I would hope that I would be acting. I have never pursued that, but I could always see myself in those little bit part character actors when I get older, if I'm not singing. I would like to do that.
What about the jobs you had before you got into music?
I've been a car salesman. I've been a bookkeeper. I've worked great, technology support. JC had more of a career.
I went to the United States Naval Academy at Annapolis, Maryland. I did not graduate. I went into rock and roll. And from 1970 till 1980, hard rock and roll in Hollywood. That's what I did. That's where I got my chops. It's where I played with all kinds of great people. I went back into what you would refer to as a normal living, and became a financial advisor. So a complete opposite from naval officer to rock and roll, and then from rock and roll into financial planning. And I just did that, but I always wrote songs. I started writing songs when I was 12. But in 2007, when my marriage fell apart, I realized I didn't want to do that anymore. And I started writing songs again in 2007. But again, I had always recorded albums. I recorded Weird Al's band. I recorded songs. You know who Dio is? His lead guitar player, he's an animal. His name is Tracy G. I recorded with some really great musicians, but I was a businessman. So, you know, I'd always been kind of schizophrenic. What I'd be doing now if I wasn't doing this, I don't think I'd be doing financial planning. I think I'd be pushing up daisies. I don't think I'd be alive. I just think music and doing what I do with Laney keeps me alive.
You both are such great role models, because I think of so many folks when you're 30, 40, 50, you get in this rut and you are who you are, and you've been through divorces and raising kids and career changes, in some cases, grandchildren. And you're still doing what you love to do. You're going out there making it happen. And I think there's a great message in there to make your life a masterpiece and don't settle. Go for it.
I like that message.
We're not verbal about that on a stage setting, but one-on-one, I think I have no problem sharing with people that if this keeps me going. And I think that people need to be doing what they want to do and are happy doing. The problem is when you're 30 and 40 and you're raising kids, you know, you might not have that option. You know, you may have to do some crummy job that you don't like to do.
Yeah, I've always had to have a second job most of my life, yeah. But I never stopped playing music.
That's the thing. I when I hear about somebody who might have the spark to play music, or he writes songs, like there's a guy that we know that we've met here, and he's a good songwriter. I mean, I've heard him play. He's got a construction job, and he's not married. when he does get married, times he's the marriage destroys the music and the guy is never going to pick up his guitar again. You know, I think that's a crime. You know, music is something that's probably part of him in that case. But, you know, you can have a conversation with somebody and share these things. But I see your point, though. And it is our point as well. We tell people, man, you got to do what you got to do to be happy at some point in your life. Will to live and all that stuff, you know.
No, that's a great message. Lainey, tell me about Heart of Steel.
Heart of Steel. Well, it is the name of the song and it is the name of an album. And that was one of the things that we said we were never going to do. We weren't going to have a title track and an album name. And so that was the first one we did it with, Heart of Steel. My mom was an Avon lady for 27 years. She sent this little locket in the mail. And it was a stainless steel heart with a stinky sachet in the middle of it. And I started wearing it to shows because it was kind of cute. And I wore a lot of black, so the stainless steel looked nice. And I live with a songwriter. So next thing I know, I'm hearing a in the living room, Heart of Steel, beginning of Heart of Steel being worked up. And I'm like, well, there's already a Heart of Gold.
Heart of Stone.
Heart of Stone. So why not Heart of Steel? So it was actually written about a piece of Avon jewelry.
I wrote that.
Or inspired by one.
I wrote that song. I wrote that song on the same day I wrote End of the Flame.
Two songs
yeah,
in one day?
Yeah, you came home from your job and I had both of those songs.
Nice.
I remember. Well, yeah, because one's about a match and one's about a steel heart. There's stories behind it, but you know, I mean, we have a song about a bug.
I have to say the Heart of Steel is probably way up there in at least the top three of most requested songs when we do our shows. So it's had some staying power, and I like it a lot. I like to sing it.
Yeah, I still like to sing it. You know, when you sing a song for, you know, 5 to 10, we've been together almost 10 years.
Almost
right?
10 years.
When you sing a song that you recorded 7 years ago, and then it already had its rotation in your live show, and you've done it too much, they leave the rotation, and you replace it with new songs. Well, it kind of has never left, actually. Mm-hmm. That song has kind of never left. I think it's one of the few that haven't ever left. Partly because we shortened it just a little bit. It kind of gets to the end a little quicker. Mm-hmm. And people just have somehow, they really like it. So right now, our show really consists of 9 or 10 songs that are kind of proven themselves as requested songs. We might throw a couple in that we just want to do. By and large, we stick to songs that people write. And sometimes we'll just ask them to call out a song and we'll just play it, which we like the best. Because we don't have to think.
Heart of Steel is definitely up there at the top of the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do it then. Without further ado, JC and Lainey, Heart of Steel.
When we can dream where we
taking me back to my DJ days. That's JC and Laney and Heart of Steel. Hey, as live performers, are there any songs that you actually get sick of playing?
Once in a while, we do take something out of the rotation. I would say probably there's a song called I Wish You Well that was getting requested a lot for a long time.
And I said to her last night, put that back in the rotation.
And you did last night say, put that back in.
It happened. It just happened. We left it lonely now. And we just started doing that again. And we had taken it out for 4 years. So that's what happens. The answer to your question, is there one we're sick of?
Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe a cover that you're tired of playing.
Your stuff's awesome.
So a cover that sucks.
Well,
I know JC gets tired of Why. People ask for Why every single show. He gets tired of that one. I can't say I do. I like Why.
It's the first song. I wrote Why originally at 11:30 at night. I can't remember what particular stupor I was in or what induced my stupor, but I just got up from the couch. There was no one around. I was in my recording studio. My house was a recording studio in 1989. My entire house, the entire first floor was a recording studio, and I slept upstairs, and that was it. Anyway, but I woke up at 11 o'clock, and I wrote that song, and by 11:30, I was done with it. And I recorded it right away on a 4-track. And then I recorded it on an 8-track 4 years later. And then I recorded it on another it was a 16-track. And then I recorded it on a 2-track. And then I met Laney and we recorded it. It was the first song we ever sang together. Why?
Officially.
And so there you go.
You gotta keep
so
that.
I'm a little sick of it. Yeah. But each time we recorded it, every time I recorded, I always thought it was an improvement. And the final time we recorded it was with Laney singing, and that's what we stuck with.
JC and Laney with us. I am lucky enough to have listeners all over the world, and you do too. I saw comments on your website from the Netherlands and Tokyo and Columbus, Ohio, which seems like another world. But what's it mean to you to have this kind of impact with your music on folks literally all over the world?
Oh, it's really fantastic. And the best part is we've been lucky enough to have a residency show up in Williams, Arizona. This is our fourth summer. And we literally meet people every day from all over the world. So some of those people who make comments, we've actually met. They're not just social media fans. They're actual real life
eyeball
people
to eyeball
who invite us to come to their country.
Yeah,
and say,
come
we'll
to Italy,
a place
come to Australia.
Stay.
You know, it's like we're thinking, we ought to do that. Wait a minute. Hold on. We got this gig and this gig. You know, we come to Australia. We'll give you a house. And it's really nice. People are wonderful. Actually, it renews faith in mankind, if you will.
So yeah, we do make strong connections with people, and we are right now in the middle of this residency. We're playing all the way till September, basically Wednesday through Sunday. So if anybody out there's going to the Grand Canyon, come and see us. We're right out there on the street, right up from the Grand Canyon Railway.
7,000 feet, man. Right now we're in Maricopa where we live, which is 1190 feet. The reason I know it's 1190 because I read the sign last night. Remember?
Yeah.
And Williams is around 7,000. So we were in Tucson last night.
Night before last,
we played in Tucson, and we held our notes like 5 minutes. It's like, we just held our notes out because there's so much oxygen here at 1200 feet compared to 7,000 feet.
It's like kindergarten.
It's like, it's hilarious. So I don't know. I don't know why I said that. Was there a reason I said that?
No, it makes sense. Performing at altitude is a challenge.
High altitude is no joke. It really works.
How can folks keep track of where you're going, what you're doing, and get a hold of your music? I know you have the website. Is it jcandlaney.com?
Yes, jcandlaney.com. has everything about us, including our calendar. We have our calendar on our Facebook page under events. We're out there on Reverb Nation, Spotify, SoundCloud, and we do have a Pandora station. So you can pretty much find us anywhere.
We get a lot of different YouTubes from people who take our YouTubes, and it's like they might not ask us, say, can I put your show on? And it's like they'll put it on there and we'll go, oh my God.
We like
Do the they ones like us?
We like the ones we post the best.
We like the ones we post. Best,
not the so. Ones with that were taken by phone with someone singing along with us.
Dog in the back howling. Oh, great. Thanks a lot. Yeah, it's pretty homegrown stuff, man. We're a homegrown act. Every now and again, we get a third member to play with us, but we really just like this. We're one of those pure kind of things. I always feel sometimes like we're in a test tube. People will stop and listen. They'll hear us singing and they're playing. They'll stop and they'll go, oh my God, yeah, God, you guys sound really good. And it's like, well, thank you. We've been doing it since we've been 12.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate that. And we do appreciate it, but it's like it's an unusual thing in a day of technology, the way it is, where you can make your own sounds with a little machine, right? We're actually using voices and guitar. It's very unusual, but again, we're very honored that people take us that way. It's very cool. Keeps me alive.
What a great visit, and wishing you nothing but continued success. Now, I know you've got a bunch of your originals, but I'm digging up something from your Under the Covers album. I just love this. Lainey absolutely crushes Landslide.
She has an encore. She gets an encore every time we do that. Oh, yeah.
You're the best. Please keep in touch.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I took my love, took it down.